Hey, welcome to the podcast. Today is a really kind of a salute, even though it's a silent salute, to Chris Pratt. Men with dad bodies, you know, little puffy, let's just say, you know, in certain areas, are now more attractive to women than guys with rock-hard abs. And I believe that's all because of Chris Pratt. And I want to thank Chris Pratt for all he's done for bodies, you know, like mine, if I lose 50 pounds. And I just want to say thank you, Chris Pratt. I appreciate it. On today's podcast, we talk a little bit about immigration. We start with Joe Biden and the crazy things that he is saying. Also, we look to campus reform, to go to the campus and ask people, hey, who do you think said this? They're all racist statements. Little do they know, they all claim, all of them, are from Donald Trump, when they're all from Joe Biden. What does that mean to them? Also, we have Brad Thor on today's show. I talk a little bit about farming and how insane farming is. All on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Home Title Lock. You can sign up now at HomeTitleLock.com. It's a $100 search for free when you sign up. This is not something that just you need. It is also something that everybody in your family, especially your parents, need, especially if they've paid a lot of their mortgage off already. Don't lose your home. HomeTitleLock.com. Okay, I hate that, Joe Biden.
Oh.
The one I love is the crazy one that says things like, Obama just didn't have any time to explain it, you know? And if you go into a 7-Eleven, you're going to find nothing but Indians running the joints.
Yeah.
I mean, love that Joe Biden.
It's the same Joe Biden that explained to us that it was that going to get Osama bin Laden was the most difficult decision in 500 years.
Yes.
Like, first of all, like,
the one that makes everybody, the one that is not left or right, makes everybody go, mm-hmm. Wait a minute, I thought that was a pretty easy decision.
Right.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Hey,
here.
The most world's most dangerous terrorist. Should we get him? Come back to me in five centuries. Like, that's not
it. Oh, man. We've been looking for him for 5 years. We've been at war. We've spent about $1 trillion. I don't know. You know what? You know why this is so hard? I'm trying to figure out how to explain healthcare. That's why should we kill Obama or Osama bin Laden when I'm trying to work on Obamacare? I don't know. It's a tough decision. Okay. So yesterday, and I love this because this is truly Joe Biden. And it's going to be interesting to see the two of these guys go head to head. And also to see the press. Remember, the press was all upset. All of the violence, any violence that happens anywhere in the world is going to be Donald Trump's fault. Did you hear him? What he's saying? He's encouraging people to punch people. Okay. All right. I was with you on that. I didn't like that when the president was like, you know what? Take him out and beat the crap out of him. I didn't like that. However, he was not calling for a revolution, which Joe Biden, let's see if anybody in the press notices this one. Here's what he said yesterday about a brass knuckle fight.
Joy, I know you're one of the ones that think it's naive to think we have to work together. The fact of the matter is, if we can't get a consensus, nothing happens except the abuse of power by the executive. Zero. Number one. Number two, there are certain things where it just takes a brass knuckle fight. There's no way to do it. You have to go out and beat these folks if they don't agree with you, by making your case. And that's what presidents are supposed to do. Persuade the public. Move people as to what's going on. If you start off with the notion there's nothing you can do, well, why don't you all go home then, man? Or let's start a real physical revolution if you're talking about it. Because we have to be able to change what we're doing within our system.
So I'm trying to decide, is he, because he's talking to religious leaders, which I love. I just love the fact that he's having this conversation with religious leaders. So is he calling for revolution, or is he, because if we don't give him the benefit of the doubt, he was calling for revolution.
Mm-hmm.
But if we give him the benefit of the doubt, He was saying what? Look, there's no other option. If you can't make the case, there's no other option. Right?
Right. He's saying that not necessarily he's rooting for some sort of, you know, physical
Correct.
Revolution. He's just saying, like, you know, we can convince them. And if we can convince them, we don't need that. That's never going to happen. He's not advocating for it. And of course, this is the type of analysis that the left would never give to Donald Trump or anyone
Correct.
On the right. But I mean, the bottom line is Correct. That you can make a fair point that he's not calling for it. He's saying, like, I'm warning you of it. Right. There are people who will go
so
to this if we don't.
So he's a conspiracy theory. So I,
it's
so
what
I
they would say about
sure
you for sure.
Headline,
yeah.
Right. I just want to say that the headlines then are wrong. The headline should be that he's a conspiracy theorist saying that a revolution is coming.
I mean, that's what they would say about you. And did, by the way,
exactly.
say about you when you said this. Because, I mean, you've said
yes.
multiple times a very similar brand of analysis, which is, look, we can't, you know, there are going to be people coming and taking people out of buildings and beating them in the streets, and we're going to see real strife. How many times? We were just watching a clip of Andrew Wilkow from Blaze TV, who
yeah.
was highlighting all of these incidents where people are now walking up to women on the streets who happen to be Trump supporters and kicking them and punching them in the
yeah,
face because they're quote-unquote Nazis.
In fact, let's play that, because I think this is really important, because what he's saying is, if you can't convince, well, they're done convincing. Remember, the left is the one that's saying the conversation is over. There's no more dialogue on things like global warming. You are a denier, or you're standing in the way of progress because of X, Y, and Z. Remember, yesterday we played the audio that I want a, what would you call it? I mean, really, a communist government. This is the city councilwoman from Denver says she wants all shared property, all shared everything. She was looking at a communist kind of way of life. And she said, and I'm willing to fight for it any means necessary. So they are there. Many of these revolutionaries are already there. But let's just not say that without backing it up. This is from Andrew Wilkow and his program on Blaze TV just last night.
You know, barely a day goes by where we don't see some sort of incident of violence or threat of violence from progressives. Here's a quick reminder, highlight reel, if you will.
I asked the guy, I said, who did you vote for? He said he voted for Trump. So I took his time.
Child.
Look at this.
Oh, I meant to get your phone.
This woman just.
It's always cold. Nice to highlight pillars of the community.
It's remarkable what is happening. And then I want to show you the reason why a lot of this is happening is because, and I'm going to just be real frank with you, people are stupid. That's why. People think they know more than they do. They think they're so smart. And nobody has. Everybody is filled with hubris, and they have absolutely no humility. They think they know, and as soon as they are corrected, they don't know what to do because their whole world is about to fall apart. We'll go there. So there's a couple of things here. We have Ami Horowitz going inside the Muslim Brotherhood, which we have to get into in a little while, but we also have from Campus Reform. They went to Marymount University, Cabot Phillips did, and he said, I just want to read some statements to you, and you tell me, is this Joe Biden or Donald Trump? And he was posing as students against racist Trump quotes. Listen to this.
First quote, you cannot go to a 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. Who do you think said that?
Trump.
Trump.
That sounds like a Trump quote.
Ooh, that's a big yikes. But I might say Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Next up, this was to a largely African-American audience. Quote, if my opponent wins, they're going to put y'all back in chains.
Trump again.
Wow. I still think that's Donald Trump.
Oh, definitely Trump.
Trump.
Donald Trump.
Joe Biden.
Next up, this was about President Obama. He called him, quote, the first mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean.
Probably Trump.
I'll go Trump again.
Who do you think said that?
I think Trump said that.
Donald Trump.
What if I told you that all of those are actually Joe Biden?
All right, there it is.
Is that surprising?
Yeah, very.
That's crazy.
Is that surprising?
Yeah.
Oh, snap. Oh, that's bad.
Is that surprising to you?
Yeah, I mean, they're all pretty racist, so it's not really good.
Ah, well, that's surprising.
That's really surprising.
Mm. Why is that surprising?
I've never heard any of those things before, so the fact that you told me that, now I'm like, damn, is he really who he say he is?
I don't think that's something I want to really support.
Would this potentially impact your vote?
Of course.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, like, since I thought all that was Trump, like, I thought, like, that was going to be a slam dunk. But apparently, you know, I got to reconsider that. So I'll just look more in depth, really.
Would these quotes potentially lead you to another candidate?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, absolutely.
Personally, probably. I would have to really do my research.
Yeah, I think it would.
Interesting. At least they're being consistent there. So what does that show you? What do you take away from that besides the?
Oh, that was fun.
Look at the dummies.
Well, first of all, it was fun. Look at the dummies. But second of all, I would say, it's one of those things where, forget the fact that obviously, like, the double standard on what is racist speak or not is a big problem here. I mean, you know, this is a great example of, you brought up as well, the talk about revolution, and this is one of the most clear ways the media is actually biased, in which they believe Joe Biden is a good guy, so therefore they don't assign negative intent to his statements. And the same thing here with the racism stuff. They believe Joe Biden isn't racist because they like him and they think he's a good guy, so therefore those statements aren't problematic.
May I disagree with you just a bit?
Sure.
And I'd like to hear your opinion on this. I'm not sure that they do like him. I think they like him as much as they liked Hillary Clinton, you know, in 2006. He's just a vehicle. They'll take him down the minute they feel they can, because they have another option.
I think you're right on that. I think that they don't want to destroy him right now because they think he might
win.
And they see, and this is not how I feel, obviously, but they see the media, like the media, it sees itself as a problem as to how it treated Hillary Clinton. They think they were too tough on Hillary Clinton in 2016, and it's one of the reasons why Trump won. Now, I know that feels like a completely different world, and it is. It's D.C., it's New York, it's the media. But that's how they see that and how it played out. So they're very careful here. They will destroy Joe Biden if they can get someone else who they see as better, more to the left than Joe Biden. They don't want Biden to be the candidate.
If Joe Biden were close to everybody else, they would be torpedoing him right now. But because he's so far ahead in the polls and looks to be the only guy that could beat Donald Trump, they are not going to go after him.
Yeah.
They did a little bit, and his poll numbers really are the same, and it doesn't look like Joe Biden's going anywhere. And so they're going to back off on him.
Yeah.
But what I found was the most important part of this was when she said, I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And again, these are not even new quotes. Now, the media gave him a huge break because he was essentially Barack Obama's vice president. So he had a clear ride through a lot of that. But I think piggybacking on what you're saying is the most important thing, Glenn, the fact that they didn't know this is another thing which shows why they're all Democrats, why they're all socialists, why they believe every Republican is a racist.
Yes.
The second they hear the quote, they actually all change their minds about Joe Biden. And that's, actually worse. Like, you don't know the context. You have no idea what's going on. You're going to change your opinion on a man from a quote that's completely out of context from a person you don't know who does have an agenda? Like, that's a huge problem. The research needs to be done. You need to have principles. These things can't just be these flippant decisions, and that's the bigger problem.
So here's the thing. This is why they're silencing voices. This is why they must put Steven Crowder out. They must put, Mark Levin or anybody else. They must put them out of business. Because once you hear the facts, you change. Once you hear, look at what's happening with Bridget Phetasy. If you've been watching her or following her transition, it's remarkable. She tweeted yesterday. I always hated myself, and now I realize because I was liberal. she's doing the work, and she's realizing I'm not that. I'm not sure what I am, but I'm not that. That's why you've got to shut down speech and thinking. If you hit critical thinking, it all falls apart.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Pat Gray from Pat Gray Radio Roundup, which you can hear as a podcast every day, live as he records it. Pat Gray Unleashed, and that's happening on The Blaze every day, precedes this program.
6 to 8 Central.
You can also download it as a Posca.
7 to 9 Eastern.
What is it, Mountain?
Thank you.
It's 5 to 7 Mountain.
Okay.
And what is it? 4 to 6.
I'm in Hawaii.
Pacific.
When do I tune in?
I think 3 in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of Hawaiians get up to listen to it live.
If I were in Tibet and I was the one with the outlet.
Okay. It's going to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah,
okay,
you don't even have to get
much,
up early. Matt. You bet.
Wow, that's great. That's where you should
actually
do the show.
Tibet's it's going to be 3:15 because they're
really?
Yeah, like 9 hours and 15 minutes ahead of us.
15 okay. minutes. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Because God seems to target like trailer parks and things like that when he, throws down a tornado. Is God trying to kill Jeffy? That's what I'd like to know.
There does seem to be a lot of evidence pointing this direction.
Man, they really got
so
hammered.
So Jeffy, I got an email from him, yesterday, I think, that said, hey, really bad storm, and a tornado in our neighborhood, and I lost part of my roof. And I was like, oh, man, you need anything, blah, blah, blah. And then I never hear from him again, and I stopped thinking about it because I've lost part of my roof in a storm here in Texas, too. Mm-hmm. They'll have to come and replace some of the shingles. Apparently, that's not the kind of I lost part of my roof. He literally had the tornado rip part of his house off of his house.
Yeah, where the elements
were
pouring
inside.
In. Yeah, the elements poured into the rooms where they lost the house, and those are all severely damaged. And then a tree fell across his neighbor's driveway, and he lost his fence. They're living in a hotel. It's not even livable. So, yeah, they got hit hard.
Well, he sent a picture this morning where a board from his fence blew apparently so hard it went through the wall of his bedroom
and was just
right by his headboard. Again, God sending messages to
him.
Yeah. And you can actually, from the inside, see the hole that was made by a board coming through the wall. That is like twister level crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my grandfather talking about, he lived in Nebraska and Iowa, and he said, we talked about the tornadoes, and he said, I saw hay driven through telephone poles. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing, tornadoes are just frightening as heck, and they will do, we've seen it when we went up to Moore, Oklahoma, you remember that? It like takes a house and just makes it into a mulch. It's an incredible force of nature. It met its match with Jeff Fisher.
It could not lift him out of the house, though. That is the good news. It could not lift him. His entire family clung to him, and so they were all safe.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
incredible. Amazing. It's an amazing story. Yeah. So that's
now.
That's
did they good. Cling to him, or did he just say, "Hey, take one of my shirts, or pair of my underpants, and use it as a safety"?
I didn't get the gory details. I just know that because the tornado couldn't lift him, everybody was. was hanging on to him for dear life.
Okay.
So.
Can you share the picture? Because I didn't get the picture. I can't download any pictures up here in the mountains. You know, God forbid that you could actually have communication systems in a place like this.
I doubt he has.
We have a satellite. Mm-hmm. We have a giant satellite sitting in our front yard. And yet I can't, so we can be on, you know, television mm-hmm. and radio, but I can't download a single picture. So
that's,
maybe you should put it on, on television so I can see it.
Okay. I can try to do that. I don't know that we have approval, but again, Jeffy's sort of an oversharer, so I doubt we'll care.
Yeah. Who cares?
So what did it, we have to get him on the air. In fact, why don't we take a quick break and see if we can get him on the air? Do we know where he's staying?
I don't, but he's got a cell phone, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, so right? So let's call him, mm-hmm. And because I'd like to know, where were they when this happened, and what did it sound like? So Jeffy was not sucked up in a tornado, but his house was. He was in the house. Lucky for him, he has gained all of that weight back and then some.
Wait, what?
Welcome, Jeff Fisher.
Wait, what? What does that mean?
Well, it means that you had enough girth to be, you know, sort of anchored as the tornado blew through your home.
Now, I don't have a picture. I know you sent a picture, but I don't have a picture. I don't have it in color. I was able to download this picture of the scene, and you see his family hanging on his belt.
Yeah. Wow.
And the tornado with the house and even the witch on the bicycle behind him.
Wow.
That's the scene as captured by Kodak.
I'm sure that's an authentic picture.
Well, it's not in color, obviously, because he's in the mountains and can't download it completely in color.
Yeah, but, right. So anyway, how are you, Jeffy?
I'm fine, thank you. Everybody's fine. It was, you know, it was certainly scary at the time, that's for sure. I haven't seen where they actually. I haven't seen where they actually said it was a tornado in my area. It was up and down this entire swath that the storm went, and it was definitely a tornado. I mean, I watched it out my back door, standing in the kitchen with my daughter, as the rain went left, as it went from going straight down to left, and then went back to the right, and then went back to the left. And between that time, my partial
Sounds like
roof
Joe Biden.
Blew off. Yeah. Yeah. And then between that time, the roof fell off, so he doesn't have any hair, so it's absolutely Joe Biden.
So Jeffy, I mean, were you guys just in the kitchen, or
we were
into
in the
a
house,
safe place?
No, we were backing up into a safe place. I mean, during the whole time, I mean, it was just like, this is a tornado, and it's not good, and then it was over. I mean, that's how, if it was a bigger tornado, you know, I mean, more of the house would have been torn up, no question. But, I mean, all the fences in the neighborhood is blown up. Tree in the front yard snapped about 4 feet from the ground. That's in the neighbor's front yard.
But that wind could not move you.
No, you're absolutely correct. It did not.
Yeah.
The room that I was in is
that's
fine.
Important.
There's no leaking. Okay. There's nothing there. Everything is fine. And my daughter was saying, boy, it's good I'm with you.
Right. Hanging on to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Hanging on to your belt, because it's like that scene in
photo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's like that scene in Twister where they're hanging on to, they put a belt around that pipe.
A belt around the pipe. Yeah. That was good to be called.
Except
it
was a bigger pipe.
Yeah.
You. Yeah. So what did it sound like, Jeff?
It was just, it was more, I mean, I know a lot of people talk about, you know, sounding like a train or whatever, but it was just loud wind. You know, I mean, it was just, you feel that, you hear that loud wind, and it's gone in. I mean, it was not a minute, you know, I mean, maybe a minute. I mean, not even for the, for the main part of that, the wind and the storm was maybe a minute. I mean, I guess maybe two. It just seemed like it went on and then it was gone. Then it was just raining. And water started to leak through the, you know, the upper roof, upper rooms. I mean, the ceiling has fallen through, and one room and the other room is about ready to go.
Jeez. Oh, man, that is terrible because you had just gone to Best Buy and bought all those really expensive electronics, remember?
I do, as a matter of fact.
And all that new bedroom furniture and all the... what happened to that big, really expensive piece of art that you just bought?
That was blown out, right? It's gone.
Wow. Wow.
Everything under the insulation is all brand new electronics. So,
yeah. Wow. Wow. Jeffy, how unfortunate for you.
You sent a photo of what appears to be a board sneaking its way almost through your head while you were sleeping. We have this picture. I mean, like, legitimately, you can see a board pushing its way through the edge of the wall from the outside. I mean, it looks like something from Twister.
Yeah, behind our side wall of our bedroom is, you know, obviously just fencing and yard, and you can see where pieces of wood, I'm guessing pieces of fence, were slammed up against the side of the bedroom, and two or three of the pieces smashed through the wall. One came all the way through, smashing into the headboard of our bed. I mean, that's what stopped it from coming all the way in.
So I tell you, Jeffy, and I mean this sincerely, I mean, you had a heart attack earlier this year.
Yeah.
Now you're going through this. I thought God was probably trying to kill you with a heart attack, but is it just possible that he's just trying to stop you from procreating anymore?
It is possible, yeah. I mean, it is possible, Glenn. You could be right. Yes.
I could be. Okay, good. It's been a really tough year for you, Jeffy. Sincerely, it's been an awful year for you.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine, Glenn. Don't worry about it.
Oh, none of us were worried at all. I hate to give you that impression. We're just noticing.
Did I misinterpret that? Sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, no, there's no concern here on our part.
Okay. Yeah, no, the house is fine. When they after they fix it and the foundation is fixed, it'll be fine. There's one big pillar. There's one pillar that goes to the top of the trailer that's completely off. I mean, it's about halfway down, and I'm not even sure how long the house will be livable for a while.
I will say, Jeffy, this is one of those moments where you celebrate the joys of renting.
I know.
Because Jeffy, I would rent it for the rest of my life if I could, and I swear, like. Renting, and you have one of these things come down. You've got a situation to deal with, with no doubt. But not having to go through and deal with all the insurance companies, all this other stuff. At least you have some of that shielded from you in this particular situation.
Yeah, a little bit. There's no question about that. But I mean, you still have to go through it and try to, you know, get the house livable or move again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the fact that you bought 320 Apple iPads and, you know, iPhones,
flat screen
TVs, and you put them all under.
It didn't suck up all that gold that you just purchased, did it?
But I will say the Liberty Safe did stand tall, so no problem.
Did it?
Yes, it did.
Did it?
Yes, it did.
Now, Jeffy, this is not.
Was it hanging on to you as well?
Liberty.
That's funny.
It's funny, right? That's funny.
It's funny. Yeah, it is funny.
Now, Jeffy, this is not going to prevent you from hosting this tour of the museum that we're doing together coming up in only 11 days, right? I can still depend on you for that.
Sure.
Okay. Good, because I won't be able to make it. So if you don't mind taking the lead on it, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I should be back to that. I should be back to, one of the fastest growing podcasts in America, Chewing the Fat, very soon.
Now, take your time. Take your time. Don't rush. Don't rush to get back.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Any idea how long it's going to take to get the house livable again?
I really no. I mean, I have the electricians were out yesterday, and he was like, you can turn the AC on. I mean, I would if I lived here, but you probably shouldn't.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, sincerely, Jeff, we have extra rooms at our house that are sadly in use, but Pat has plenty of room.
Which I told him last night. Which I told him. And he's, no. We'd rather be at the Motel 6, thanks. or something to that effect.
Sincerely, Jeffy, you know, you can stay at our place. I know Pat is sincere about that as
absolutely.
Well.
Stu doesn't want you anywhere near his place.
Nowhere near.
I would rather. I'm not even offering. I'm not even going to play the game. I'm not offering under any circumstance.
That's good because
we're not going to feed you.
No,
we're not going to feed you.
No,
I mean, it's not like we're Bill Gates.
The deal.
And you'd have to bring your own sheets because I don't want you laying on mine. Right. You know, but.
But I have a covered area for my carport that you guys could live under for a while. Till the neighbors
you guys
complain.
Are so thoughtful. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's that's
means
awesome.
A lot. It means a lot.
Yeah.
My family really appreciates it.
And it's so typical your luck for this to happen right after you buy the Picasso. I mean, it's just what are the odds of that?
Thank you.
What did you pay for that?
There's no record of that except there's no record of that except for the three of us. we'll testify on your behalf.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Jeffy.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
We welcome a good friend, Brad Thor, back to the program. Hello, Brad. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Long time no talk.
It has been a while. I've been writing a new book, so I've been in the bunker.
I know. So when is the book out?
It's called, my new thriller is called Backlash, and it debuts a week from today.
Week from today. Okay, so we'll have you on to talk about the book. It's about Russia, is it not?
It is. It is about Russia. It's a real fun thriller, something I've never done before, and a topic I haven't done before, and I think I've come at the book with something nobody has actually ever written before, and I think they're going to love it.
Okay, great. Let me just, while we're here on Russia, tell me what you think about the cyber war between the United States and Russia and what came out in the New York Times. I think this was a good thing that we're doing.
No, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, what we see is only the tip of the iceberg out there. So this was probably meant to be a very obvious shot across their bow. And they wouldn't do that if there wasn't something in the background that they were concerned about. So we'd say, hey, don't mess with us because this is what's going to happen sort of a thing. So I'm glad that we have the capability and that we're, flexing our muscles a little bit just to let the Russians know, don't think about messing with our power grid or anything like that. You're going to be in big trouble.
So do you know anything about the Cyber Warfare Command how it's just been given all of these new powers that were apparently slipped in on defense bill, the last defense bill?
So I know a little bit about the organization, less about the defense bill. We've been under a state of emergency that's been renewed. You and I have talked about this every single year since 9/11. So there's a lot of powers the government is granting. It's granting itself through this kind of continuing ongoing resolution that it renews every 365 days. So my big thing is, Frank Church in the 70s warned us that when the NSA turned its giant listening ears inward, that will have been a Rubicon that we can't cross back over. And that's what happened after 9/11. We got with the Patriot Act and collecting all the metadata and the NSA outgrowing Fort Meade, Maryland, and having to build the big server farms in, south of Salt Lake City in Utah. Anytime the stories are about them spying or surveilling outside the United States, I'm a happy camper.
So, Brad, it's been a while since we've really talked. What do you think the state of the union is?
Well, I think we're really toxic, and I think we've become very tribal in how we approach our politics. The rise of nationalism has been very concerning to me. I grew up wondering how so much could happen. Good and decent German people could be physically and intellectually intimidated into silence in the 1930s, and bad things could happen in that country. I'm not saying we've got the rise of Nazism here, but we've got people who are piping up in the public square that never ever. We never would have found that socially acceptable as a culture. First Amendment rights notwithstanding, there's stuff. There are people that are empowered today to spew some absolutely vile stuff. And I think this goes back to us. You know, we used to say, "What will the neighbors think?" And now we don't even know the neighbors' names. And I think it's a symptom of a much deeper sickness. And by sickness, I mean kind of a wasting away of our culture and our unity as Americans. We see ourselves in these silos, these subgroups, well before we see each other as fellow Americans, and that's not good for a republic.
So we're not only seeing people say crazy things, but we're at the same time seeing voices silenced, and to me that is just as concerning. That these organizations, they can do whatever they want, because after all, they're not part of the government. The First Amendment applies really to the government. We are seeing an organization or several organizations that are getting so massive that you could lose freedom of speech and the Constitution would have nothing to say about it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of comparisons made to kind of the monopolies of railroads and steel and all of those titans of industry. And that argument is one that resonates to a certain degree with me. We see people thrown off of Facebook, thrown off of Twitter, thrown off of YouTube. We always said in this country that the answer to bad speech is not less speech, it's more speech. It's a competition of ideas and who's better. Whose ideas are better. It concerns me that some people, again, this siloing, I am concerned that we have people who are only getting their news from Facebook. And I don't care if you're left, right, or center. That's not a good idea to gather all your news from Facebook, regardless of what your politics are. We've become lazy. We've become spiritually lazy. We've become civically lazy. And we've become intellectually lazy in this country. We have it better. Jonah Goldberg's book, Suicide of the West, was so fantastic because he said, we're at the top of the mountain. And if we're not careful, if you lean too far forward, too far back, too far left, too far right, you fall off the top of the mountain. This is the best point in the history of the world to be alive, and we're in the greatest country to be alive in. But if we aren't careful, we are going to lose it. And so this laziness across those areas that I just explained really does concern me, because we are not fighting enough for free speech. Glenn, I put a self-destruct program on my Twitter account. My tweets don't last more than 2 weeks now, because I don't want somebody bringing up a great joke I made after a back and forth with Pat or Stu on Twitter and dragging it up from 5 years ago and saying, hey, wait a second, this sounds terrible. Well, in the context of 5 years ago, it was really funny because I'd been on the show with Glenn and we had joked about this and I made the joke on Twitter afterwards. That kind of stuff really, as an author, someone who makes his living by expressing himself and with words, it freaks the hell out of me.
So yesterday, I've been feeling this for a while, that, you know, we're living in a digital age. And when you look at, like, for instance, the movies you buy, you don't actually buy them. You're still renting them. You're leasing them from Apple or anybody else, because they don't own the rights. They lease the rights. And so when Disney comes out with their own platform, most likely Disney's going to say, okay, you can only get our movies from our platform. So if you bought all those Disney movies digitally, when that license expires with Disney, if Disney decides not to continue the license with Apple, you lose all of that. It is amazing to me how we could silence somebody who has a lifetime of work, and all of their work could be gone almost overnight. You could take back all of the books, unless they're in print. You could take back all of the books. You could take back all of their videos. They're gone. You could silence their voice and put them behind a wall. Does this concern you at all, or is this just me being too paranoid.
No, no, listen, I agree 100%. It's a push-pull, right? Remember when U2 had that album and everybody was forced to receive the album?
Yes.
I mean, it's a two-way street, so you can be stuff can be pushed on you and it can be removed. You can have the version on your Kindle of a book replaced with an edited version. So without your permission, they can do something like that via not just Kindle but any e-platform at all. So when you're dealing with digital, listen, the smartest thing my wife ever did was she went out and bought all Mel Brooks's movies on DVD because we didn't want to lose them. You know, there's movies that I think are very funny that Mel Brooks did that if you tried to do them today, you'd never be able to get them done. In fact, you know, Mel Brooks would be the public pillory. He'd be dragged to it. So, yes, that is a concern. The more we are reliant on digital, this is precisely why I don't do online banking. I don't like the idea of somebody being able – and, yeah, you have to give your permission to pay bills and all this kind of stuff. I still do paper checks. It's just the way I am. I just don't like surrendering everything to digital. I think it comes with a lot of risk. And you couple that with the story you opened up this segment with about the article in the New York Times about us you know, flexing our muscles with Russia in cyberspace with threatening their grid system. This is pretty serious, and the more reliant we are on digital, the more susceptible we are to great havoc.
And I don't think that Russia is the I think they will be deterred with mutually assured destruction, but places like Iran and North Korea, they will not be deterred by mutually assured destruction. Do you agree with that?
Correct. They won't, and you also need to keep in mind with Russia that they've got a very a very active propaganda outlet, Russia Today, where they are pushing stories about 5G causing cancer because the U.S. is so far behind in that technology, and Russia's trying to rush their own version of it ahead. So there's a lot happening with Russia beyond just what they could do electronically from kind of a cyber warfare standpoint. They're also running a very active cyber warfare propaganda campaign.
I don't know if you I don't know if you've noticed this, but all of the stuff that has come out recently about deep fakes, it's all coming from the Samsung Center in Moscow, and that concerns me that, you know, the Samsung Center in Moscow is the one leading the way on this, because you know that the Russians will use that. All right, back with Brad Thor here in just a second. I want to get his list of things that he thinks we should preserve, books that thinks we should have in paper form. What I'm doing is I'm putting a whole list together, and I ask for your help. Go to glennbeck.com/savebooks and give me the list of what you think is important culturally, is important to show the progress and the bad side of America. What would you want if you needed a library that said, this is what the West was, this is how it worked, and this is its faults, this is how you would restart it? Go to glennbeck.com/savebooks. All right, we are back with Brad Thor. So yesterday, we asked people, and we got a lot of responses online. Just go to glennbeck.com/savebooks. We got a lot of things, a lot of repeats. Animal Farm, Fahrenheit 451, The Bible of Mice and Men, Grapes of Wrath, Brave New World, a lot of Calvin and Hobbes. Believe it or not, I don't know about that. I wanted to get Brad Thor on because I wanted to get his list, and then I want to ask him another question about books we should preserve. But first, let's get your list, Brad.
All right. So my list, I kind of have it broken into groups. It would be the Bible, the Summa Theological by St. Thomas Aquinas, the Federalist Papers, complete with the founding documents, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, The Road to Serfdom, The Gulag Archipelago, and Cinderella Story, My Life in Golf by Bill Murray.
The Bill Murray one took me by surprise. So Brad, I think actually it's important to preserve culture as well, both good and bad, to show, you know, where we were as a people. Brad, I was thinking about on my list putting perhaps you or Tom Clancy or some Vince Flynn onto my list because you are not only part of the culture, but you have, there's so much truth in the books that you guys write. It has to make sense, and it has to be based in fact. Otherwise, you guys couldn't sell a book.
You called it faction, Glenn. You said, you know, you don't know where the facts end and the fiction begins. That's your phrase.
Right.
I mean, I've done thrillers about the Federal Reserve, about the threat of too much technology. I mean, with each book I do, my job is to give people a white knuckle thrill ride, a fun, you know, take it to the beach, take it to the lake kind of book. But when you close it, you're smarter about the threats the country faces and what your role is as a citizen. So, I mean, I'm thrilled that you put me in that group with Vince and with Clancy, but I think that's probably not a bad idea if you want to get a current snapshot of the threats the country faces.
Well, I did include Michael Crichton's Sum of All Fears. I think isn't that it? Sum of All Fears about
climate of fear, I believe it is.
Global warming. What is it?
Climate
still?
Of fear.
Climate of fear. Mm-hmm.
Climate of fear.
Climate of fear.
Sum of All Fears was Clancy.
Climate of fear. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Climate of Fear, which was fantastic on its truth. It tells the story of what's happening with global warming. He started to write it as a pro-global warming thing. He got into the facts and he realized this is hogwash. So he wrote it all. And then the last part of the book is all about, here are the facts. Here's everything that I said in this book. It is happening right now. And I think that's a really important thing, especially when it comes to the global warming.
Listen, there's a reason they come for the academics, the journalists, and the authors first, right? When they want to silence truth. Those tend to be the three groups of people whose job it is to get the word out there. We can talk about journalism today and whether they're really living up to that standard. But I think that if you really want to see what's happening in a society at any given point in time, look at what's being written. Look at the written word.
If you had to save one Clancy book and one Thor book, what would it be?
If you had to save one Clancy book and one Thor book, I think The Hunt for Red October is always going to be the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that we're not learning anything about the Soviet era anymore, and it would be it's culturally important and important globally as well to remember that and to remember what the Cold War felt like. How about a Thor book?
Well, so if I had to pick a Thor book, I'd probably, considering everything that we're dealing with right now, it would be my book Blacklist.
Blacklist.
Blacklist, which had to do with total surveillance of the population. What you and I talked about earlier, the warning from Frank Church in the 70s that if the NSA ever turned its giant listening ears inward on the U.S., we would have crossed the Rubicon. And that's, I actually opened Blacklist, my thriller Blacklist, with Frank Church, with a direct quote from him on the Today Show, talking about his hearings and what he learned about the NSA.
That was one of my favorite books of yours, and I can't wait to read Backlash. It comes out. Backlash comes out next week, next Tuesday. Brad, I'm sure we'll talk to you again, hopefully next week when that book comes out. You can order it now in advance. Brad Thor and Backlash.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.